Are you flying the flag of world, world, world? Yes, world. Well, you need to be flying the flag as a citizen of heaven. You're a follower of Jesus Christ. So you need to act like a citizen of heaven. Again, what's at stake is encouragement in the face of opposition. It's strength in the face of adversity. It's urgency in the world around us. It's perseverance despite hardship. It's maturity in Christ. Paul says, if you want those things, Philippi, then you need to behave as a citizen of heaven. Just like you're in Philippi and you're identifying as Romans in this world, you need to be identifying not as a citizen of this world, but as a citizen of heaven.
Hey, welcome to Live in the Light. Robbie Simons here. Hey, first of all, thank you for supporting this ministry, for listening. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for being engaged as we seek to have God's word come to you and to reach many people who we want to see encouraged to be part of their church family and strengthened and transformed by the one and only gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, I'm here right now, and I get to host today because today, for the first time ever in Living the Light, we got a very special privilege, and we're going to have our longtime host, Craig Turnbull, who's been with us so faithfully over all these years, who's a very wonderful preacher in the ministry I'm a part of as well. He's going to be preaching to us today at Living the Light from a very special message within our series, Citizens of Heaven, from the book of Philippians. He's going to be tackling chapter 3 in one of my personally favorite texts of what it means to truly be a citizen of heaven. In fact, he's going to be unpacking for us the very theme of this entire book and the series we have here. So we get to flip roles today. It's so fun. Many of you are so desirous and you hear Craig's voice and it makes you fill with warm thoughts as it does me too. But Craig, you're here today and you get to preach to us. So we're so thankful for that. So tell us a little bit of where we're going today. Hey, by the way, what's it like to be on the other side, man?
Yeah, it's really strange. I mean, we haven't changed seats at all, but still, to be in this place, I'll just say this. I'm super humbled to do this. I'm always humbled to stand in front of our people at our church. Amen. When I get to do this. But then to know that I get to be a part of Living the Light in this way is really just
It's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, very excited to do this. And like you said, Robbie, our passage today takes us to one of the greatest verses in the book of Philippians. It's Philippians 3:20, which is the theme verse of the whole series. It says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Today's message is all about looking at what it means to be a citizen of heaven. We get to look now into God's word and see what it looks like. We're going to do a little bit of a citizenship test today as we walk through God's word together. And what we're going to find out is that as citizens of heaven, we need to have the right kinds of heroes. I don't know if you have any heroes in your life, Robbie. I've got a few heroes in mine. I think the problem is that not that we have these heroes. I think that many of us choose the wrong kinds of people to have heroes. We flat out, we pick losers to be heroes. And that's a problem when we're walking by faith in Christ and wanting to be citizens of heaven. We need to have those kinds of right heroes in our lives. So that's where we're heading a little bit today.
All right, how exciting is this then? Pastor Craig Turnbull coming to you right now, Philippians chapter 3, a beautiful verse, and such a great message. So sit up, listen up. We'd love to hear from you as always. Here comes Philippians right at you right now. Amen.
Hey, listen, if you've got a copy of God's word, would you go with me to Philippians chapter 3? Philippians chapter 3 is where we're going today. It's all about citizenship today. In fact, we're going to hit the capstone verse of our entire series. Our series is called Citizens of Heaven. We're walking verse by verse through the book of Philippians. And now we come to this great verse in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we base the entire series titled Citizens of Heaven off of this. And that's the message title as well today, Citizens of Heaven. And I think of citizenship, I think of some of my most favorite nationalistic moments in humanity, and they tend to rise up in sporting events. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. I'm a big fan of the Olympics, so I watch that, and my wife is American, I'm Canadian, so there's a little bit of discord in our home, just a little bit. We usually win in the winter, she usually wins in the summer. It's all good, we concede that point. But one of my favorite ones to watch, and I have no I have no care for the sport, is the World Cup. You know, where they kick the little black and white ball around and then they argue about what you call it, whether it's soccer or football. But man, don't you see the flags hit the cars when that happens? And as long as your team is still playing, the flag is up and you are proud, but then when your team loses, that flag kind of slowly comes down again. You know what else I've noticed is that nationalistic pride rises the most when you're not in your home country. And you see that, like people boldly, yes, our team is winning, it's my people, they're honking and waving at people with the same flag. It's the same, isn't it? The displaced people still love their home teams. I came across this great picture this week. This guy clearly not at his home game. Isn't that great? This is a rugby match. Something bad has just happened to the blue team. You can see it on their faces. This guy's loving it though. I was looking at that picture, I was like, man, it is a good thing that that is a big man, because that is a dangerous place to be. Displaced people still love their home teams. Paul picks this up when he writes to the Philippian believers, and we've seen this over and over again in the book of Philippians. Philippi is really a Roman soldier retirement village. It was a nice place to live, and after serving in the Roman military some 20, 25 years, you were allowed to retire, and a lot of these guys chose Philippi as a place. There's a reason why, because they were proud people. Philippi was a place that was proudly, continually identifying with Rome. They spoke the Roman language of Latin. They loved to wear what Romans wore in Rome. And keep in mind, if you got in the car right now from Rome and drove to Philippi, it would take you 20 hours. They're far away. This is like down in Florida to us. A little colony that was so flag-waving the Roman people. They were so proud. In fact, you can almost imagine that if there was a soccer match where Rome was playing Philippi and they were in Philippi, you can just imagine the Philippians cheering for Rome. They just loved this place. These guys were like the Yankee fans at Fenway Park, just cheering and boldly flying that flag. Now, Paul picks that up. And he picks up his pen and he wants to capture an idea today. And as he writes them, he says, listen, if you want this as well, if you want to live the Christian life, you need to live as a citizen of heaven. Remember the reason why Paul wrote Philippians? He gave us a few at the beginning of our series. We talked about these. To encourage reliable partners, to strengthen those facing hostility, to wake them up. They're distracted by internal competition, to persevere and resolve within opposition, to call for mature discipleship, all because they recognize that they're not citizens of this world, but citizens of heaven. And over again in the book of Philippians, Paul will write and essentially tell them, hey, listen, are you flying the wrong flag? Are you flying the flag of world, world, world? Yes, world. Well, you need to be flying the flag as a citizen of heaven. You're a follower of Jesus Christ. So you need to act like a citizen of heaven. Again, what's at stake is encouragement in the face of opposition. It's strength in the face of adversity. It's urgency in the world around us. It's perseverance despite hardship. It's maturity in Christ. Paul says, if you want those things, Philippi, church at Philippi, if you want those things, then you need to behave as a citizen of heaven. Just like you're in Philippi and you're identifying as Romans in this world, you need to be identifying not as a citizen of this world, but as a citizen of heaven. He calls them and asks them, what is the jersey that your heart is wearing right now? Does it say earth or does it say heaven on it? Paul's message for the Philippians is the same message for us today. As we ask the question, where's our citizenship? Where's our citizenship? Where am I most comfortable with? Do I love this world that I'm in? Or do I long for a different place? What jersey am I wearing? What flag am I flying? Well, again, what's at stake? Encouragement, strength, urgency, maturity, perseverance. Those are big things. I want those things in my life. And if you want those things, Paul says, then you need to identify as a citizen of heaven. You need to live as a citizen of heaven. Now, how do I know if I'm living as a citizen of heaven? Well, this morning, we're going to take a little citizenship test. As we walk through the text of God's word, Paul's going to give us two ways that we can know if we're citizens of heaven. Again, let's do the citizenship test together. Verse 17, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. How can I know that I'm a citizen of heaven? Paul gives us the first citizenship test here. It's this: citizens have the right heroes. Citizens have the right heroes. Paul says in verse 17, join in imitating me. Now that word for imitating, we directly take our English word for symmetry. And it means essentially photocopy your life to my life. And not just me, Paul says, but keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in me, Paul, in us. Paul has set the example for this church. Way back in Acts chapter 16, Paul walks into Philippi first time. He begins preaching the gospel. People begin hearing the message of Jesus Christ, giving their lives over to Jesus Christ. And the church is founded in Acts chapter 16. And then Paul begins to minister to the people. And now he says, listen, what you saw in me, what you heard from me, how you saw me live my life, how you saw me speak to you, and what you heard from me in the words I've written to you, those are the things you need to be photocopying. Take that and photocopy it in my life. And this is a common thing that Paul says. He says this again and again and again. This kind of imitate my life. Look at my life and follow me. He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I urge you then, be imitators of me. In 1 Corinthians 11, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. 2 Timothy, follow the pattern of the sound words you've heard from me in faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. What's he saying here? He's saying, look at my life and follow me. Photocopy your life to my life. Now, does that seem odd? Like if someone came up to you in the street and said, hey, you know what your problem is? Your problem is you don't look enough like me. You know how you gotta follow me. You gotta be like me. You gotta dress like me. You gotta talk, you gotta tell the same jokes. You gotta follow the same social media accounts. You gotta read the same books. You gotta watch the same kind of things. You need to look like me. Now that seems a little strange, doesn't it? Does that mean then when Paul says you gotta follow me, that I need to follow everything about Paul? Is Paul saying, make yourself an exact photocopy of my life? No, it doesn't. Look up at verse 12 in chapter 3. We saw this last week. Verse 12, chapter 3. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. So wait a minute. I'm supposed to follow Paul's example. I'm supposed to follow Paul's life, but Paul says he's not perfect. Paul's not the perfect example. So what am I supposed to do here? What are the Philippians supposed to photocopy themselves to? How are we supposed to imitate Paul in this? Well, we're supposed to follow him in his example, his broken pursuit of Jesus Christ. But not just Paul, he says, you're supposed to keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Follow people who look like me, says Paul. Follow people who are just as broken as I am, who are just as eager to pursue Jesus Christ as I am. See how I'm running after Christ? You see how I'm not perfect? I haven't obtained it yet, but I'm still chasing after Jesus? That's the kind of heart you need to be following. This is the kind of people that you need to be following in this life. Find people who look like me or follow me directly, says Paul. Emulating someone is only to be done with the aim that you look more like Jesus Christ. Paul says, I don't want you to look like me. Don't look like me. I want you to look like Jesus. Did you notice that having heroes is biblical? Having heroes is biblical. The problem is not that we have heroes, mind you. The problem is that we have the wrong heroes. Our problem is that we have selected losers to be our heroes. That sounds harsh. What do you mean by that, verse, Craig? Verse 18, Paul says it right here. For many, of whom I often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. Now, we're not entirely sure who Paul's talking about here, but whoever they are, they're contrasted with the people that we're supposed to be following. These are the wrong kinds of people to be following. These are the losers to follow. Notice that they're enemies of Jesus Christ, and specifically, they're enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ. They don't want anything to do with the sufferings of Jesus Christ. If that's what it means to follow Jesus, then count me out, man. You don't have to follow Jesus that way. You can follow Jesus and get all of these great, wonderful things and never have to suffer. They're enemies of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. They don't want it. They don't want that stuff. They avoid it at all costs. Look at the characteristics of them. Again, just heads down in verse 19. Their God is their belly. What does that mean? I think you understand that they're not bowing down and worshiping their belly. That's physically impossible to do. Think about it. You can't. What is he talking about here? It's their appetites. These are the kind of people that live for the next thing. If I can just get the next bit of food in my mouth, if I can just get the next experience over, if I can just make that next purchase, if I can just meet that next person, if I can just go that next destination, it's living immediately for the next appetite that surfaces. I have this desire, I shall fill this desire as immediate as possible. Their God is their belly. They worship their appetites. They glory in their shame, he says. What does that mean? They glory in their shame. Think about it. You know what it means. They glory in their shame. They do shameful things they know they shouldn't do, and they brag about it. You ever met anybody like that? Ah, look at me. Look what I did. Let me take a picture of it. Let me post it. Let me tweet it out. Look at me. Who cares? I just did it. Oh, well. Look at the next thing I just did. They glory in their shame. Their minds, it says, are set on earthly things. These are the kind of people who desire earthly things for their own personal gratification. It's all about now. It's all about here. It's all about me. And then what's the end of it? It starts in verse 19. What happens to these people? Why am I calling them losers? Well, their end is destruction. They lose. So there you go. Their God is their belly. They glory in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. Their end is destruction. Question now, why would Paul write them and say, don't follow these kinds of people? These are the opposite to the kinds of people you need to be following. Why would Paul write them? Why in the world would you follow something like that? I'll tell you why. You won't like it though. You follow somebody like that, because whether you would like to admit it or not, your God is your belly sometimes. You glory in your shame sometimes. Your mind is set on earthly things. You kind of like to follow your appetites. You kind of like to live for the things of the world. If that's the case, Paul says, well then guess what? You're not going to find the strength you need for this life in Christ. You're not going to find live with the urgency you need. You're not going to persevere in the middle of difficulty. You're not going to find the encouragement that you need for this life. You're not going to find it. If you live that, if these are your heroes and you're following in that way, well, you're not going to find encouragement when their end is loss and their end is destruction. If you don't want it, then you won't chase after it. If you don't want to pursue Christ like that, then you won't. You'll pursue something else. You'll pursue someone who tells you that you can get what you want to get. Now, two applications come out of this right away. The first, I think you can see this, is I'm asking you the question, who are your heroes this morning? Who are your heroes? What kind of flags are you flying? What are the teams that you're cheering for? Who are the people in your life that you're like, yeah, who are the men and who are the women that in your life that you are following? Are they men and women who are enemies of Jesus Christ? I want you to think about it for a second. What is the greatest aim of your life right now? If you could have that thing, if you could do, who has a life that you really, really want? And is that a life that deserves to be imitated? Is that a life that deserves to be photocopied? So maybe it's you look on the social media thread and you see the perfect family, and they've got this perfect picture, and the coloring is perfect, and they're wearing perfect clothing with perfect teeth, and you look at them and say, if I could just have that family, never mind how godly they are, never mind how they pursue, I just want our family to look like, why can't we be a normal family? What you watch them, and you, maybe you follow, and you hear about their vacation that they went on. Oh, I want to go on that vacation. You hear about the new purchase they made. They made that purchase. I want that purchase. They got the new, look at the car. I want that. But you don't, but is it because of their godliness that you want that? Is that why you want to follow that? What about the appearance of the person? Maybe you're looking at the person. This happens all the time, doesn't it? Oh, if I could just look like that person. Oh, look at how they look today. This is maybe not so much guys, but it does happen to us. You know, look at the hair. Or in my case, oh, they have hair. That's wonderful. I don't have to fake it with a beard. You know? But you know what I mean? Like I could. I wish I could fit into clothes like that. I wish I had nice clothes like that. I wish I had the brand. I wish I had the shoes like that. Are you wanting to follow them and photocopy them because of their godliness? Or because of their worldliness? How about the money in the account? I wish I had that kind of bank. I wish I had that kind of resource. Are you wanting to follow them because of their godliness? Or because of their worldliness? Or the talents, gifts, abilities? It goes on and on and on. Are you wanting to photocopy your life to somebody else's life because of their godliness? Or ask your heart, because of their worldliness? Even though their end is destruction. Who's your hero in life? Who are you opening your heart to and allowing them to speak into your life? Who are you letting be a hero in your life? Maybe you're like, well, I don't have any. I want this. I want this kind of godly hero in my life. Well, this may be the second application for you, which is how do you find these kinds of heroes? You've been desperately wanting this. Where are these people? Where are these people? I want these people in my life. Well, here's a couple of things maybe you haven't thought of. A couple ways to find these heroes. The first is Paul. Verse 17, brothers, join in imitating me. That's Paul. You have this access as well. Paul wrote many letters in the New Testament. You can read them. You can see how Paul suffered. You can see how Paul endured hardship. You can see how Paul embraced joy, how he found contentment, how he endured difficulty after difficulty and yet followed hard after his Lord. He can serve as a wonderful hero in your life. In fact, I think that's biblical. He's supposed to. We're supposed to follow this man as he follows Christ. You say, okay, all right. Can we have somebody maybe a little closer in time to us? Then Paul, I get it. Paul, that's great. Anybody closer that I can maybe be a hero? And yeah, I think there are. There's other dead people that you can follow. Maybe in the books they write or the poetry that they write or the sermons that they preach. I put together a list of my heroes. I gave them fun names because they really mean a lot to me. These are my buddies. None of them are walking right now on this earth. Matthew Henry, Jonathan Edwards, Robert Murray M'Cheyne, Charles Spurgeon, who incidentally used Matthew Henry, Oswald Chambers. By the way, all those in that first column, they're all free to you. The copyrights have expired. You can go online, find the stuff that they wrote. You can read the sermons that they wrote. You can read the meditations that they wrote. How about this one? C.S. Lewis or A.W. Tozer, Jerry Bridges, who just went home to be with the Lord a couple of years ago, or R.C. Sproul, who just went home to be with the Lord just at the end of last year. All of these guys, amazing, wonderful people. And but I don't agree with all of what they say, but I love their heart, and they've done a massive amount of discipleship in my life. And by the way, I do know that none of them right now are dead. I know that all of them right now are more alive than they've ever been before the Lord. I know that. So you could go with Paul, you could go with those people. He's like, okay, can I get some people who are alive, Craig? Yeah, absolutely. There's lots of people that are still alive. I get a lot from people who are still alive. You can get, by the way, that's all, you can get that, like I can get that. And you can now, how wonderful it is that we live in a world that we live in right now, that you could go home after this sermon and you could sit down at your desk and you could type in with a few keystrokes, give me a better sermon on Philippians 3, 17 to 4, 1. And you could get a dozen guys who preach a way better sermon. That's all accessible to you. You can listen to them right now. And you say, okay, how about somebody who's alive, Craig, somebody who's near the time, and somebody I can actually meet, like face to face. How about a hero like that, Craig? That's what I'm looking for. Well, yeah, absolutely. This is why this church is here. This church is filled with men and women, countless men and women who are striving after the Lord. Men and women who've played a huge role in my life and who've discipled me and encouraged me, and they can encourage you as well. But here's the thing though, you chase after what you want. You gotta get in to get this kind of help. If you want that too, you need to connect. I think what so many of us do though is we treat church like it's Domino's Pizza. We sit on our couch, maybe in our slippers and PJs, and we dial up the phone and we say, yes, can you deliver me a mentor in my life? I'll be here waiting. Click. Well, the church isn't like Domino's Pizza. The church is like a good steakhouse, all right? You don't call up a steakhouse with your slippers on and say, can you bring me my steak now, please? No. You get dressed. It's an event. You walk out of your house. You drive to the steakhouse. You wait in line because it's worth waiting in line for. You sit down and then you open up the menu. I'll have this, please. And then it takes time to bring that to you. And then it comes to you and then you enjoy the steakhouse. That's how the church is with mentors. If you want that, you got to come in. You got to lean in. You got to run to find it. You got to meet people in this church. And trust me, there's hundreds of men and women in this church who are leaning into the grace of Jesus Christ and who are chasing after his goodness. Again, if you're hungry for this, if you want that kind of encouragement, if you want that kind of strength to live the Christian life, to find the urgency to live the Christian life, to find the perseverance in the midst of trial, and to find maturity in Jesus Christ, then you will run after this. You'll find the right kind of heroes. But if you want it, you'll chase after it. You gotta want it though. You gotta want it. Now, before we move on from this, can I just say something to real human beings here for a moment? Because I think this is important when we're looking for heroes. Before I leave this, I want you to know that you are not looking for a perfect person. You're not looking for a perfect person. You're looking for a broken person who is in their brokenness pursuing Christ. You're looking for a person who says like Paul, not that I've already obtained this, but I'm pressing on to find it. You're looking for that. You're not looking for perfect people. Why are you not looking for perfect people? Because listen, perfect people don't follow Jesus. The healthy don't need doctors, Jesus said. It's the sick who need doctors. You're looking for a broken man or a broken woman who's looking and clinging to Jesus Christ. The day that person stops becoming a broken person, they have reached perfection, is the day that I don't want to follow them anymore. I don't need that kind of perfect man. I don't need that kind of that thing in my life. I'm not looking for a perfect person in my life. I'll be honest with you. I've already found a perfect person in my life. His name is Jesus Christ. I'm trying to follow Jesus Christ, and I'm looking for broken people who are running after Jesus Christ as hard as they possibly can. That's what I'm looking for. That's what you need to be looking for as well. You don't need a success plan. I don't need someone coming to me and saying, hey, this is how you improve your life with 10 steps. Pull up your bootstraps, work harder, cling to, go ahead and do it. No, I don't need that. I don't need a plan for success. I need a plan for when I fail, which is all the time. I want a man who says, I know how your sin is in your life, but what I have found is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you, Craig. Let's run to him. I have tasted, I have seen that the Lord is good. Walk with him. That's what I need. That's the kind of person I can follow. And that's the kind of heroes that Paul calls us to follow. And that's the kind of heroes that you need in your life. Not people whose end is destruction. You need people whose end is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Citizenship test. What kind of heroes do you have? Well, if we're going to live as a citizen of heaven, we need to have the right heroes. Here's the second test question. Let's read verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Citizens of heaven, you have the right heroes, but then secondly, you have the right hope. You have the right hope.
If you'd like to hear this message again or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these free resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. If you'd like to get a copy of the entire series, make sure you phone us at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. That's all for today, listeners. Join us again next time here on Live in the Light.